Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon from Batavia Downs Gaming here in beautiful Batavia, New York, where it is beautiful everywhere today in Western New York. We appreciate you being with us here at Sports Talk Saturday Double Edition. Brian Colziel, Dan Cave here as we are in 34 Rush, Thurman Thomas' sports bar, getting you ready for our Belmont party. And yes, we'll continue to talk about Jeff Skinner and that big news for the Buffalo Sabres. In fact, General Manager Jason Botterill just met with the media on a conference call. We're going to be airing some of that coming up in just a little bit. We'll get Paul Hamilton's reaction to that as well, as he's a part of our show here today. Coming up at 2:30, Pat Malacaro from downtown and Salem Field, Bisons and Star Wars night tonight. So a little bit on that coming up. And also then Paul at 3 o'clock on Skinner, on what Botterill had to say, and what is next for the Sabres, as it's obviously now kind of wrapping up here. We're maybe only a game left in this year's season with the Blues up 3-2 on the Boston Bruins. That game is set for Sunday night. No game tonight in the NHL, no game tonight in the NBA. So an open Saturday night for you, which is nice, Dan Cave, as we say good afternoon to you. Because
good afternoon.
People probably want to be outside today. It's gorgeous out.
It's a beautiful early summer day in Western New York. It's just perfect weather. I know there's a lot going on this weekend, back in Buffalo and throughout the region. So beautiful day for it, and a lot going on here as well.
That's right. We have the Belmont party going on, the third of the three Triple Crown races. And with us, as we always do to lead off our Triple Crown shows, the director of marketing from Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel, Ryan Hasenauer. Hold on, Ryan.
Sure. Whoops.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. Hey there, guys. How are you?
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Thanks for having us back here to 34 Rush.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in today. Action-packed here, guys. I know that it's a nice day outside, and we've got a lot going on. So if you want to take that drive down the thruway, there's certainly lots of things to do and see here at Batavia Downs today.
Yeah. We'll get your take on Jeff Skinner here, too. We're going to talk about that quite a bit. But this is the third of the three races. It's been a very interesting Triple Crown season. There's been controversy. There's been horses that have made a storyline and then don't end up racing in the next one. It's I don't know if interesting even is the
it's
right word.
It's been unorthodox.
It is.
I like that. Yeah. That's better.
The last race, we had a horse finish with no jockey.
That's right. He got thrown off right away.
He got thrown. It was crazy. So, yeah, you know, I was really hoping once, the first race came through as it did, and we were hoping to get the winner and the supposed winner back for the Belmont. It was clear they didn't want to race for the Preakness, but unfortunately it looks like both of them are going to take some time off and then maybe join us in the horse racing community for either the Travers or maybe the Haskell come this summer at Saratoga and out at Monmouth. So we'll keep an eye on those guys. But the Preakness winner is racing today. We got a couple of horses that raced in the Derby, took the Preakness off, and they are back today for the Belmont Stakes, which is the longest of the three races, a mile and a half. So anything can happen. It's going to be a beautiful day down in Elmont, New York, and it looks like the track is fast. So we'll see what happens. Mike Smith just won the last race on an 8-5 favorite, and Mike Smith is riding aboard a horse he's never ridden before till today, and that's one of my favorites today. So we'll see what happens with the big race.
Yeah, this one the longest. It's a mile and a half. The Preakness, the one that we had 3 weeks ago, the shortest of the three. Mm-hmm. The Derby, of course, the middle lengths of those three. So the challenge of this usually is about the length, and that usually is why we have smaller fields in general.
Yeah, you also got a lot of horses that might not be able to hang. I can't remember the last time. Maybe I'm trying to think if Justify ended up going wire to wire last year. But in reality, you've got a lot of horses that like to kind of stalk the lead. They'll kind of be not on the lead, but just maybe second, third, fourth place. And then when the time is right, they'll make their move. You got to be careful, though. You can't have your fractions be too fast in the Belmont Stakes because you'll get very, very tired. And then those deep closers will try to come in from way behind in order to try to win the race. But it hasn't been a good race for deep closers recently. So we'll we'll see what happens with the race and how it sets up today.
All right. So we'll hear the race, of course, on WGR after our show is done. We're with you from 2 to 5 today. 10 horses participating today, Ryan?
Correct. No scratches as of yet. Everything seems to be in order as we've been checking it out so far.
All right. So Tacitus, the leader?
Tacitus is your favorite, I should say? He's your favorite. I believe on the morning line he was 9 to 5. He's down to 5 to 2 last I saw. And War of Will was at 2 to 1. I think he's down a little bit as well. But really the 9 and the 10 are getting a lot of attention today. But there's some money to be won here. And maybe some other horses that can maybe make some noise as well in the race today.
All right, let's talk about the Belmont Party here inside 34 Rush. What's going on?
Yeah, so we've got a few things going on here today. The Belmont Party has been moved to inside 34 Rush, inside the main part, which is where we're broadcasting from, as well as the brand new End Zone Room, which is a room that's just off of 34 Rush, just completed it in the last couple of days. And you can get the normal deal, which is your $15 deal, going to get $15 back in free play once you earn a point on that gaming floor. You get a $2 wager on the Belmont Stakes, free programs throughout the building and at your local OTB. And you'll get your choice of lunch, all those different great lunch choices like the beef on whack and the salad and all those other good things. Also on site today is the Bourbon Fest, Bourbon and Whiskey Fest, 25 different vendors, guys. And tickets are available at the door still. $40 gets you a Belmont Stakes glass, going to get you a T-shirt, going to get you $15 in free play, and you'll be able to sample all those different bourbons brought to you by our friends at Black Button Distilling and Four Roses Bourbon. So it's going to be a packed day inside. If you're looking to maybe just do something outside and enjoy this nice weather, we do have the Colton RV Show in the parking lot. So if you're in the market for a new RV, they've got, I think, at least 60 of them out there. I saw them when I pulled in today. They're open today and tomorrow for that. And you mentioned there's no games tonight. There's no hockey. There's no basketball. UFC 238 is tonight, though. So if you want to check out some Ultimate Fighting.
That'll be on in here.
That'll be on in here. And no cover ever for the UFC events. We also show the WWE pay-per-views as well on Sunday nights. So coming out to 34 Rush, and that's your pay-per-view spot.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. UFC is just continuing to roll. It seems as though. Now, has it replaced boxing? I don't know. We had a boxing controversy last weekend, right? With the heavyweight
Joshua
fight.
Got knocked out. Yeah. Well, he's getting a little cocky, that guy.
You know,
and that's kind of what happened. But, you know, MMA obviously became legal in New York State. Was it 2 years ago it finally became legal? Mm-hmm. We were one of the last states to allow it. Of course, MMA fighting was still going on here in New York State, albeit on an amateur level. But professional fighting was banned. But I think that, obviously, people in New York have an affinity for it. They really do like it. In fact, so much so that a week from today, we are hosting an MMA event ourselves out on the track, right in the middle of the track. We are fighting, I think it's a 12 bouts. There's going to be about 12 fights. And we're going to put the steel cage up on Thursday. And we did it last year, had 750 people out here. It is awesome. BataviaConcerts.com is where you can buy those tickets. Ground Force Fights is the folks that are putting that on with us. And we're excited about that. That'll drive a lot of people out here to come check that out. And it's hopefully, knock on wood here, it's looking to be a nice day next Saturday night.
Would you be the favorite in a employee UFC Royale here?
I don't know. I'd have to take.
I think Todd could take you.
Todd, well, I'm pretty squirrely though. You don't know.
I mean, I like Ryan's speed in the corners.
Yes. Oh, okay, that's true. Ryan is quick. I feel like Todd has the raw strength that could really just take you down.
That's probably a good way to put it. If he ever got his hands on me, I might be in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to keep him at arm's length.
That's awesome. Well, that'll look cool out in the track. I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm pumped about that. And then after that, our concerts start. So Survivor's coming in. Those of you that love Rocky and love Eye of the Tiger, they'll be playing that song. You can be sure about that. And that'll be on the 21st. So it's kicking off pretty much this weekend, our summer of fun here at Batavia Downs.
And then live racing is?
End of July.
End of July.
Yep. And so we'll have that. That'll be races on Saturdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays. And, of course, they take off during the concert series on Fridays. But once the concerts are done, races pick back up on Friday nights as well.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, we mentioned it. What? They have is two Triple Crowns in a three-year span.
Right. 15 and
American 18. Pharaoh, and then Justified.
Yep. Justified, yeah.
So we said that the math would say that we weren't going to get one this year.
Right.
Yeah. After Dan and I doing this show for what, like almost more than a decade of us begging for one and saying like, would it ever happen? And we were the year before it happened, we were even having like legit discussions about,
do they need to make rule changes?
Is there like a format change needed or
somebody
something?
Somebody was complaining. Yep, exactly.
The owner of California Chrome.
That was it, California Chrome.
Huge.
Right.
Well, fit about the whole thing.
And then I remember even at the start of the Derby show, we were talking with you and then again with Todd about, you know, like Is it actually going the other way? Is it bad now that there are so many Triple Crown races because people are not as it's kind of lost its uniqueness, right?
Right, right.
So, but this year has been anything but a Triple Crown, a typical Triple Crown race.
Right, and that's not to say that there's no excitement today. Of course, we all agree that you can win a lot of money actually with the favorites coming or with the long shots coming in like they have in the Derby and in the Preakness. You had a $48,000 winner in our Delaware branch, mm-hmm. and you had two $25,000 winners in Western New York at our OTB branches for the Preakness. So there's money to be made here today. Even if Tacitus gets beat, there's some 12-1s out here. I mentioned Bourbon War is the number 5, who I like today. There's a lot of horses that could certainly make some noise and possibly make some of these Western New Yorkers some money.
Will these horses have ever raced this length coming into today?
No, and they won't probably ever again.
Right. This is it. So the unknown sometimes can lead to maybe more of the upset, which could lead to a bigger payday, right?
Right. One of the things that Ty likes to talk about in the Derby and the Preakness, and he'll probably talk about it as well when he comes on, is the gallop out, which is basically when the horse gets to the finish of one of these other shorter races, is the horse gassed? Is he tired? Or does he power through that finish line like, I can go a little bit farther?
Yeah.
The little bit of a knock on War of Will was that he didn't win by as many lengths as some people thought he could have in the Preakness Stakes, but he was far enough ahead that maybe he didn't have to, so might as well save his energy. Don't push him any farther than he needs to. It's not like you get some sort of a special recognition for breaking the track record. I mean, other than, hey, you broke the track record. There's no extra money in it. So if you're going to win the race, just win the race.
Right.
So we'll see what happens today. It's setting up like you're going to have the number one probably go out to the front. A bunch of other horses will try to stop the lead, including Tacitus, and then it'll be the decision of those jockeys to decide when and where they're going to make their move and to see if any of those deep closers make some noise. It'll be a good race, that's for sure. We just hope we come out on the winning end of it here today.
That's right. All right, well, while you got me here, we always like to talk gambling and odds, of course.
Yes.
So what are the odds here that the Blues get it done at home? They're going to be favored to win, I'm sure, at home.
Sure.
Right? They've been playing very well as of late.
I have the world's smallest violin here that
we've been
playing. All the Boston
for
fans,
Boston.
Right?
We've been seeing, it's if you're on Twitter.
We talked about the billboard last time.
If you're on Twitter and you're a sports fan, whether you like to admit it or not, you probably follow Darren Revell.
Sure.
And he's been obsessively tweeting about this Blues fan, I'm sure you saw it, that made a wager on the Blues for, what, $400?
Mm-hmm.
That way back when they were
in last place
or whatever. And he keeps saying, he's not going to hedge his bet. But he could be making, what, $180,000 or something like this on a $400 bet if they win just one more game. And
you've got to hedge your bet, folks. You've got to do it. That's just crazy.
Yeah, here it is. So, yeah, the gentleman, I'll tell the quick story maybe if you don't know about it. But in January, when the Blues were pretty much the worst team in the NHL, a gentleman by the name of Scott Barry put a $400 on the Blues to win it all. Why would you put $400?
That's a weird.
When
that's
they're in
very
last,
strange.
I know.
That's what he had in his pocket at the time.
Yep. And his bet will
him.
Be grow. His bet's going to be 250-1, so over $100,000. And he, I guess, has been in contact with Darren Revell, who now does a lot of betting stuff, and he says he's not hedging on his bets. After the Bruins took the 2-1 lead, he was thinking about it and did not, and he's kept it through, and now he's a game away. Now, I've been seeing there's sites now where you can sell your betting ticket, right?
Yes, of course.
And
in Nevada only, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can get offers for that, but he's sticking with this. I mean, now I think you can let it ride for game 6, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now,
course.
If you get to game 7,
you have to...
You'd want to win something on this.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
To go through all that and be like, it was a good ride. Well,
no.
No. There's no.
Yeah.
Seems like he's sticking to it, though, this guy.
It's pretty amazing, though, that you would have done that, a $400 bet on the –
I hedged my bet on $20 once. I was in Las Vegas a long time ago, and it was it would have been October. And at the time, I bet on Ohio State to win the whole thing for football.
Okay.
And so we got to the point where they were in the national championship game, and I believe it was like a $20 wager. And at the time, they were probably like, I think it was like 4-1. So it was like an $80 win.
Yeah.
So I went up to Canada and I made a wager where I bet against them in the national title game. And they ended up winning. And so, but my net for the day, instead of it being, you know, a $60 profit, ended up being like a $40 profit. But at least I won because I hedged my bet. You've got to do that. I mean, and that's me doing that on with, like, you know, small potatoes. This is hundreds. That's life-changing money.
I still don't understand, though, like you said, Brian, why $400? And why, like, I guess I understand the novelty of, okay, your favorite team's in last place. And, you know, you have the opportunity to do it. So, like, you know what? I'll put $25 on him to win the same. Like, something like that. Yes. But $400 is not nothing.
Well, Darren Revelle just tweeted out, too. Okay. There's another gentleman by the name of Dean Portman. He put $200 on the Blues to win it all. And now, that was in January of this year. And that's going to pay $50,200.
Got to hedge that one, too, buddy.
That's right. Yeah, if you're to this point, like, what's the number? I don't know. I still think for game six, I might let it go. The Blues are at home.
Right.
I mean, but if they go to game seven, I'm taking anything that's near half of my money at that point. Right?
Oh, yeah, you got
right.
it.
Right. If somebody says, I'll give you 50 for the ticket, 50 grand for the ticket that you could win 100, I still think you have to take it.
Yeah, you have to do the math just to make sure on what it would be, just to see where. Oh, there it is on the big screen. We got the crawl in here with the highlights. I hadn't seen that all day, and there's the Skinner news. It warms my heart a little bit to see.
That's right.
Every single time.
Sabres signed Jeff Skinner 8-year, $72 million extension.
Getting back to Boston and St. Louis, Brian. When you talked about obviously there's some controversy and some calls that have gone the Blues' way. And the billboard, of course, one nice thing to see is because the Boston Bruins Twitter account got a little salty there and tweeted something about, like, guy gets tripped, goal. It's great to see that in the replies, it's not just Buffalo fans piling on. It's
everybody.
Fans, it's everybody. Nobody likes the Bruins. And everybody's just like, yeah, you know, what about all the times Marchand slew-footed guys? What about all the times X, Y, Z?
Well, Sal, during his show there that preceded us, ran through a couple of famous non-misses that went in Boston's way.
Did he have enough time to get through them all?
It was actually a 90-minute segment. But, you know, between Jesse James's non-touchdown in Pittsburgh.
Andre
and then,
Reed, give it to him, right?
That's the
or,
one.
Sean Jefferson? I'm sorry.
One that I always think of. Just give it to him in 1998 against the Patriots. That one, and that was before the Patriots were the Patriots. That still kills me. Oh, I hate that.
Oh. Yeah, they've definitely gotten their handful of calls.
Yeah, they've gotten their fair share.
I remember when I was just old enough to start being cognizant of the NHL playoffs, it seemed like the Sabres and the Bruins met in the Adams Division first round all the time.
2 or 3 years in a row, at least.
And I just remember, you know, as a kid, of course, everything is exaggerated because that's how you remember it. But
sure.
The extensiveness that, like, Adam Oates and Cam Neely and Ray Bourque used to just get away with stuff, I remember, in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
Just all the time. Yeah, there's no pain. Listen, I'll hear every day on Twitter that Ryan O'Reilly was traded in exchange for the Blues winning the Cup here.
Right. Well,
this will all become a forgotten memory anyways when Boston wins the next two and gets another championship. So,
right.
Inevitably.
The Bruins?
Yes.
Sorry, so the Patriots aren't going to. That's good.
No.
I hope not. Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
Can't handle any more parades up there.
That's right. Ryan, tell everybody how they can make their wager today, all the options that they have here if they want to get in on the Belmont Stakes.
Well, if you're going to be enjoying this nice weather and you're saying to yourself, well, I just can't get out to the easy bet. I can't get out to an OTB. BataviaBets.com is where it's at. You can sign up for an account. Maybe you have one from previously when you were betting on the Derby or one of the other races. So that'll be available for you today all day as long as you have internet access from your PC, tablet, or smartphone. And if you are out and about today, be sure to visit us at any of the OTB branches or Easy Bets. They have free programs today, and you can find the nearest one near you by going to westernotb.com/locations. Of course, you can come to the mothership here at Batavia Downs and enjoy all the fine festive things we have to offer, including the Bourbon Festival, the Colton RV Show. Actually, tomorrow, guys, for those of you with family out there, we have a free event here, the YWCA Spring Fest. We got to have a train, like a little mini kids train out there, bounce houses, over 100 vendors selling all kinds of tchotchkes, 9 food trucks. All that stuff's happening tomorrow. Big winner over at the Plinko board at the WGR.
Great.
The WGR Street team is here as well.
Man. That's right.
You can be sure to come check them out and play the game as well. So
everybody loves Plinko.
People are winning. People are winning here at Batavia Downs. You heard it here first.
That's right.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to hopefully seeing some people. I know Thurman's coming out today for the Bourbon Fest.
Nice.
A portion of proceeds of the Bourbon Fest do go to benefit the Thurman Thomas Family Foundation. So,
excellent.
Absolutely.
Is the Thurman Oklahoma State jersey That's been there, right?
That's actually a different one.
Okay, it looked super bright when I came in. It caught my eye. I'm like, that looks new, but I'm like, maybe not. I was gonna ask you off air, but you mentioned it.
Yeah,
that jersey, like, it just popped
it
when pops, I walked
man.
In.
Yeah, nice orange one with the autograph on there and everything. Yeah, we switched out a couple things. Got a couple different jerseys in there from before. The Pro Bowl one used to be in there. We took that one out. We got a Salute to Service one in there as well. So we changed it up a little bit inside of the memorabilia case inside 34 Rush from time to time.
I think, I don't know, I go back and forth on whether I like the white helmet or the red helmet more.
I know. The red brings me back to my youth and going to those games and seeing Thurman play when I went to the games in the early 90s when my uncle and aunt had season tickets.
I think the white helmet is super sharp, and I love the way it looks. I think it looks fantastic. I think the red helmet is best reserved for those teams.
Right.
That's true. I feel like that's the way to remember them. They had the red helmet. They are those teams, and I'm good with them wearing white now.
And there's
I just think they look so sharp, but the red helmet is – there's something special about it that I don't mind retiring.
When it's a, like, beautiful, sunny, warm day or something like that, and they're playing on grass and they're wearing the blue, I feel like all the white pops even more.
It just, daytime.
Like, if they're playing in Miami and, you know, the Dolphins want to wear their white or something like that, I love the way that looks.
And
the Bills uniforms are really good now. They really are.
And the league won't let them wear the red helmets. They let them do the standing buffalo with the red logo. But not – they got to have the same helmets.
The concussion rules now.
Concussion
awareness is the reason why. They used to let teams wear different helmets.
Remember, even like maybe 10 years ago, Patriots were wearing Pete or whatever his name is.
Pat Patriot.
Why they don't do that anymore. And remember the Bucks wore the creamsicle jerseys?
I love that.
Well, yeah, so the league now will let you swap out the logo and the sticker on the helmet, but you have to wear the same helmet. They don't want guys changing helmets every week because they feel like for concussion reasons, which is weird because in college football – they change it every week, pretty much.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Also, they're playing football, so
are you saying the risk is inherent?
Yeah, the risk is there.
It's possible.
But
Atlanta. So Atlanta will still do it sometimes with the old style Falcon on the black helmet.
Yes.
So that's like the Deion Sanders era. Right?
But they don't bring back the red helmet. Correct. They still wear a black one.
Oh man, I do love a different color helmet here. And I'm seeing the Jim Kelly picture here when they wore the red helmets with the blue face mask, which is a little bit different than I believe in the 90s they had the white face mask.
So they switched.
A couple different things there, changing it up.
Even the font of the numbers and everything has changed a little bit through that time period. But
you see
the Super Bowl teams in those colors, it always looks great, no doubt.
All the stuff you get here at Batavia Downs, plus a trip down Bill's memory lane by checking out the Thurman memorabilia case.
If you're sitting,
and it is awesome.
If you're sitting here and just you look at all the Thurman stuff, like your memory, if you are of age, 35 or older, or 30 or older?
Absolutely. Yeah, probably 30.
Like, and you grew up with these teams, like, you can't not look at each one of these and, like, just have a nice, warm, fuzzy memory.
Absolutely.
As we've debated for many years about how miserable Buffalo sports can be at times. You sit here and look at this wall, it makes you feel really good.
Absolutely.
That's right. And if you feel really good, you're likely to make a better wager, and then you're going to walk out
here
very happy.
That's right. You've got to be relaxed. You've got to be relaxed.
Calm, cool, and collective.
Perfect.
Got the serotonin going through your brain. It's all good.
That's right. Well, Ryan's going to join us next hour. Give us a little breakdown of the field. Are you ready for that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we'll do that. We'll break down the horses. And then Todd Height coming up at 4:30, the OTB handicapper. Of course, if you missed his segment yesterday with Howard and Jeremy in the morning, he'll be giving us his news and notes, his picks, and what he's learned from some of the earlier races today at Belmont Park. Coming up next segment, Pat Malacaro, he'll join us live from Salem Field downtown as the Bisons have their annual Star Wars night tonight.
Oh, boy.
So we'll talk to Pat about that. Paul Hamilton at 3 on Jeff Skinner. We also will be playing at least portions of Jason Bottrell's phone press conference that he had with the media just a little bit while ago. So, of course, Jeff Skinner will be a big part of our show here today as we broadcast live from 34 Rush inside Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel with Dane Cave. I'm Brian Colziel, Jonathan Simon producing back in our Amherst studios. Hope you're enjoying the beautiful weather. Thanks for being with us. More from Batavia Downs after this on WGR.
Here's the 1-0. Oh, that one's hit pretty well out towards deep left center field. Williams going back. He's at the track, and he's not going to get this one. That's not coming back. Andy Burns deep to left center, and the Bisons jump out in front 3-0. Burns' fourth home run of the year.
Bet Duke McGuire on the Bison's Baseball Network and ESPN 1520. You heard it there last night, a 3-1 win over Lehigh Valley. The Bison's back at it tonight. 6:05 first pitch downtown. Star Wars night.
Brian's favorite.
That's right.
William Shatner, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be there, I heard. No, that's not true. That's not true. None of this is true.
I've attended Star Wars night many, many years.
Yes. So you, which is amazing, given your total lack of Star Wars knowledge.
Listen, do we have to bring this up right now?
Every single show, yes.
Jeez. That's Dan Cave, by the way. I'm Brian Colesiel. Thanks
Hello.
For being with us. We're here at 34 Rush inside Batavia Downs Gaming. Of course, Belmont Stakes coming up 5 o'clock. We'll have it for you right here on WGR. But why did we play the Bison's highlight? Well, it is Star Wars night, but also Pat Malacaro, voice of the Bison's. He also along the call with Duke McGuire on each and every game. Pat is joining us. Good afternoon, Pat.
Hi, guys. Yeah, it's great to talk to you. It won't be live long and prosper here, but the 12th annual Star Wars night for the Bisons should be a great night here at the park.
That's right. Yes, I've gone many years taking my family, and we've gone with others' families and stuff like that, and it's a really, really cool night. The action on the field, even on the Jumbotron throughout, it's pretty engaging, even for the casual fan. And what I like, too, about even the kids that maybe haven't reached the age yet to know what's going on, or at least have maybe, you know, fully aware of what's going on, Pat. Mm-hmm. There's so much kind of interactive stuff and chance to meet all the characters and all that. So I feel like it's and you got perfect weather for tonight, so it should be a good one.
And one thing that I don't know that people necessarily would understand or realize is the script. So what will happen here tonight, in addition to the 75 characters, there is a group called the Northridge that is a Star Wars group that actually they've performed a video that will be played throughout the game, and then it will culminate in a fight scene on the field. Well, there's a script that is produced in the off season early on. It gets sent to Lucas Ranch, Skywalker Ranch, and Lucasfilms has to approve every single script we send them.
Wow.
And the jerseys that we wear tonight, the Boba Fett themed jerseys, because, you know, at the end of the day, now that Disney is putting out a Star Wars movie every year, there can't be a character that there's going to be featured in a movie coming up that they don't want that character maybe, you know, taken out in one of our events and, you know, folks are confused. So this is an event that a lot of behind-the-scenes action goes on, a lot of behind-the-scenes work. This isn't just wear some special jerseys, you know, play some music, play some Star Wars videos. This actually does go up all the way to the chain of, you know, the folks at Disney have to take a look at this and approve everything.
Wow, I never considered that, but yeah, that's probably right. Everything would have to be approved and run past them. And I mean, you know, I think it's like you said, Pat, it's kind of easy to think like, you know, okay, you got special jerseys and some people, you know, run around in Star Wars costumes and you call it a night. But there's, yeah, I didn't even think about that. All the planning and the behind the scenes approval that has to take place. Didn't realize you had to take it right to the very top, though.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that has made our event so unique and kind of the Star Wars night, not kind of, it is the Star Wars night that gets the most attention in minor league baseball because, you know, some teams will just wear special jerseys that are approved through minor league baseball and through Disney to just wear a jersey. You know, maybe some people will be in character, but that's kind of it. But what makes ours so unique is that we put together an actual story that will be played out and eventually end up on the field at the end of the night, and also raising some great money for local charities through the jersey auctions and the laser swords that kids can buy here. And, you know, we'll see those illuminated when the sun goes down. Brian has seen them, you know, every time he's come to the Star Wars night when the game ends and the videos are about to start playing and the kids here are all into it. And, you know, then the fireworks go off. It's really the biggest production in terms of a Star Wars night in baseball.
By laser swords, do you mean lightsabers?
Yes.
Okay. Boy, between the two of you guys.
What do you think? Think they're listen, man. This Pat, this guy is ridiculous.
Well,
to work with here.
Referred to as laser
for a guy who has
before.
Young kids. You're going to be into Star Wars real soon, Dan.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm trying to correct you guys. I'm good. I got it. I know it.
They can be referred to as lasers, yes.
Okay, all right, if you say so.
We refer to them as laser swords.
Gotcha, okay.
That's
you guys
right.
Call them laser swords.
That's right, absolutely.
Cool.
Pat Malacaro with us here, voice of the Buffalo Bisons, joining us here. Brian Colesiel, Dan Cave at Batavia Downs Gaming here for the Belmont Stakes Party. Live coverage of the Belmont picks up from Elmont Park coming up at 5 p.m. right here on WGR. Bison's coverage begins at 5:30 on ESPN 1520. Their game tonight with Lehigh Valley is at 6:05. Well, Pat, I know that the season itself, boy, it has gone a little kind of slow to start for the Herd, and partially the weather and then partially the performance. They picked up with some good play as of late, and we know some of the bigger names that fans were following quite a bit, which of course includes Vladimir Guerrero Jr. A couple of them have now gone up with the Blue Jays and are making a pretty good impact. I've watched quite a bit of the Blue Jays-Yankees series, and Guerrero and Kevin Biggio are the two that have been called up most notably. But the Blue Jays roster now, if you follow the Bisons for the last year or two, I mean, there's a chance you catch them on the right night that half of the roster has played in a Buffalo uniform in less than the last year.
Absolutely. Someone like Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who spent some time down here after starting the big leagues with Toronto this year, spent time with the Herd, is back up now. Yeah, so we expected Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to be here for just a little while. An oblique injury put his timeline back, and unfortunately for Bison fans, only got to see him here for two-plus innings instead of maybe a whole homestand or a homestand plus. But, you know, the one that really has surprised me in a good way, and the fact that he's doing so well, is Kevin Biggio. And somebody that we talk a lot about, Vladdy Jr. or even Bo Bichette, who's out with a broken hand right now. And Kevin was really the third guy of the group. He wasn't the one that was right on everybody's forefront. He's not a top 100 prospect going into the season in baseball. A little bit older because he went to college. But for 24 years old, really showed off here at this level that he belongs and that he can play at this level. And just reading some comments today from the Blue Jays front office and clubhouse, the Blue Jays expect a lot out of Biggio and expect him to be one of their leaders. So for a team that is trying to rebuild and trying to get young and get young quickly and try and build that young core, they've made Biggio a part of that group of young players that want to be leaders of that team. They want them to be more vocal. So it's maybe a little bit of a surprise that he didn't spend more of the year here in Buffalo, but somebody that the Blue Jays definitely see big things for. And when Bo Bichette comes back, and we expect it in maybe the next week or so, then you know we'll see how long he's here with the Bisons. If he picks up where he left off when he was really starting to play well in the field and at the plate, he was swinging a hot bat also.
Between Guerrero and Bichette and Biggio and all the other kind of recent call-ups that the Blue Jays have had lately who've passed through Buffalo, what ultimately, Pat, is the plan for Toronto? Obviously, they kind of hit the reset button here over the last few years after, you know, contending and being a part of the ALCS only, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. What's the Blue Jays plan going forward? How much longer, or how many years are they planning on going through until they're kind of, you know, back in contention again?
Their plan is to this offseason, they're going to have some money to spend. So, you know, a guy like Ken Giles, who is a veteran and a closer that it could be a proven commodity at the trade deadline that could be valuable to a team. You know, he could be somebody that the Blue Jays look to move. Justin Smoke at first base. And once you move some of those pieces out, then maybe you have an everyday spot for a Kevin Biggio, who right now is kind of a nomad on the infield and will play a little outfield as well. So once you get those young players more at-bats, more games in the big leagues. Danny Jansen is the everyday backstop for Toronto. He struggled at the plate this year, but they still expect big things. So in the Blue Jays' mind, they're only a year or two away from being more competitive. Look, you still have the Yankees and you still have the Red Sox and Boston. Mm-hmm. We expect at some point to. We've seen Chris Sale start to come around, and the numbers say he's pitching much better than he was the first month, even though maybe the wins and losses.
The wins aren't there, yeah.
Right. But, you know, we expect the Red Sox to be there by the end of the season. So, you know, can you be the next Tampa Bay? And getting a manager like Charlie Montoyo from the Rays organization that was a lifelong Rays coach, manager, what have you, all the way up the ranks to a coach in Tampa Bay the last couple of years, teams are trying to build off that model where you're going to have to compete in the AL East with the juggernauts that are the Red Sox and Yankees. If you can put a run together, maybe you can get one of those wild card spots and do some damage in the postseason. The Blue Jays in 16, you know, walk off against Zach Britton in the wild card game, win a round of the playoffs against Texas, and then eventually lose to Cleveland. But they were one of the two wild card teams. So you can be the wild card and still make a deep run in the postseason. And I think that's ultimately the first step in getting back to competing effectively in the AL East. And then if you can add a piece or two in free agency, doing it smartly and in a market where, sure, Toronto is one of the biggest cities in the world, and we see it right now with the Raptors and what Jurassic Park and everybody that's paying attention to it, but it's not necessarily the biggest baseball market, so to speak. So to get guys to want to come there, to play in Toronto, and to buy into what they're doing, I think that is a big step as well.
Pat Malacarl, voice of the Bisons, joining us here. Brian Colziel, Dan Cave of Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel for the Belmont Stakes Triple Crown Race Show Series that we always do every year. Well, you mentioned Bo Bichette. Pat, if you remember, I was at that game in Syracuse when he got his hand busted up. And if I remember it right, the umpire actually didn't even award him first base when he got hit. There was an argument about that. But nevertheless, he's been out there, obviously, since, mid-April now. You mentioned he's coming back soon. A lot of people going tonight. This might be the first time they get to see this team for the year, Pat, with always the huge crowd expected for these games. So how about just a little of the current roster, just some guys to watch for tonight for those going down to the game tonight?
Yeah, the middle of the Bison's order has guys that have been in the big leagues and even in the big leagues this season. Someone like Anthony Alford, who played defensive back at Ole Miss and chose to play baseball instead of continuing on his career as a football player. Someone who is just a great natural athlete. We've seen him here in Buffalo now for parts of the last two seasons, and he's been very good at the plate recently, and you can tell how athletic and strong he is in the outfield. And then someone like Billy McKinney, who, if you're a Yankees fan, you know he was acquired in a trade a couple of years ago, and then he was traded last year for Jay Happ, and he's been the Blue Jays organization since last July. So he's back in Buffalo right now, has put some good swings on and really helped ignite some of this offense that has gotten going over the last couple of weeks. The Bisons aren't built to be a home run team, but when you add someone like Billy McKinney and even someone like Socrates Brito, who struggled at the big leagues but quickly had three home runs here and is hitting right around 300, they're very good AAA players and have helped Buffalo collect more home runs, improve their offensive numbers that just were not there over the last 3-4 weeks.
Pat, before we let you go, how about the Buffalo sports news of the day? Jeff Skinner getting a 8-year deal. I know, of course, you always work part of our Sabres broadcasts. Just a quick thought on Skinner.
Yeah, I think this is a good thing for the Sabres. Yes, did they overpay for somebody that collected his first 40-goal season of his career? Probably. Yeah, they did, but you kind of have to do that, right? And it sends the message, too, that Skinner wanted to be here. He wants to stay here in Buffalo. He wants to help build on what he accomplished last year. It didn't result in the playoffs, but I think there's a lot more pieces that Jason Botterill has to fill in as well, as we saw over the last couple of months of the season. So to keep Jeff Skinner in the fold for the next 8 years, to have to overpay him a little bit, you've got some money too. That's the other part of it. If you were up against the cap, maybe it doesn't make as much sense, but for a team that needs to spend a little bit of money, this is a case where I feel like you had to spend it on your own guy and send the message that both from him and the team that he wants to be here. He wants to help build on what he and Jack Eichel and the rest of the team, Sam Reinhart and those guys, kind of were building last year that went sideways but can get back on track with a couple of shrewd moves.
Pat, gates open early tonight, right, if you're going down to the game?
Yeah, gates open at 4, and if you have the option to print your tickets out ahead of time, I would do that. The Will Call booth is open now, so if you have your tickets at Will Call and you have some extra time now before 4 o'clock and you really want to go to the Will Call booth, do it now. Don't wait. But if you have the option, or if you're even thinking about, look, the sun is shining, it's going to be over 70 degrees tonight, if you were waiting to see what the weather was going to be like, you can go to Bisons.com, buy your tickets, choose the option to print them, and you can walk into the gates at 4 o'clock and get your picture taken with Jabba the Hutt or any of the 75 characters that are here tonight.
Wow. Awesome. Can't wait to see all those laser swords.
Dan, enough
I'll save
about
you one.
The laser swords.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.
That's right. All right, Pat, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great game tonight.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Pat Malacarl there. Pat will be on TV tomorrow with Duke McGuire.
Oh, TV star.
I'm forcing my way in on the radio booth tomorrow.
So you're substituting on the radio for Pat.
That's right.
As he's on TV.
Yes.
Well, that's exciting.
No, I mean, obviously.
A lot of star power in that booth tomorrow.
No, tomorrow the Bison's game's on WNLO. So
great.
Pat and Duke shift over to TV. Fantastic. And I'm coming in to do radio tomorrow.
Very good.
So that'll be exciting. I'm excited to do that. That'll be a beautiful day down
there. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's going to be great. Right. Part of a big weekend. Oh, why not ask Pat about the fish fry?
Oh, the fish fry won the race.
Yes.
That's
yes.
right.
Is he a new regular?
Ooh, I think.
You got to find out.
Is it just
tomorrow.
For Friday?
Races? Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Ooh. See, this would have been good to ask Pat. That's all right.
Yes. All right.
Feel like you should know that going into tomorrow, though, just in case.
That's right. That's right. Well, if I'm going to guess in case they don't, in case the fish fry doesn't race. Although the fish fry did win. So, anyway. All right. We'll step aside here. We'll try to get you a few minutes of Jason Bottrell's press conference coming up. When we return, Paul Hamilton at 3 on the Skinner signing. Ryan Hasenauer rejoins us at 3:30. He'll run down the Belmont Stakes field for you today. The 10-horse field will give you a little nugget on each one of those horses so you can make your best wager. Todd Hight at 4:30. So we'll have Jason Bottrell and his thoughts on Jeff Skinner, a Buffalo Sabre for the next 8 years. Coming up next right here, live inside 34 Rush, Batavia Downs Gaming with Dan Cavine and Brian Colzie. You'll hear on WGR. .253, welcome back to 34 Rush inside Batavia Downs Gaming. Hope you're enjoying the beautiful day. Hope we can see you at some point here at Batavia Downs today for the Belmont Stakes party. 5 o'clock, live coverage from the track will kick off after Dan Cave and I are done here at Batavia Downs with our show. Brian Colzie with you. Thanks for being with us. We are going to be joined by Paul Hamilton in about 10 minutes to get his thoughts on the big news of Jeff Skinner. He's got an 8-year extension, $72 million. Jason Bottrell, the general manager, just did a conference call with the media just a little bit while ago. We're going to give you portions of that throughout our show here today. So going to give you a few minutes here before we talk to Paul. Here's the Sabres GM on the big news that Jeff Skinner has a new contract.
Congrats on the signing. And can you express optimism throughout this whole throughout the whole negotiating process since January? What gave you the belief that this thing was going to be done, and what drove you to get this thing done? Based on how much you spend?
Well, I think it's a situation where obviously we're ecstatic to have Jeff a part of our organization for the next 8 years. I think both sides were very happy with the relationship over the past year. I think it's my job to show optimism. I think when the organization wants a player, and when a player demonstrates the organization says that he wants to be part of the solution, it's my job to try to find a way to come to an agreement. And I understand that's not always going to happen, but very glad that myself and Newport could come to a resolution and get this deal done.
Matt Beauvais with WKBW. You know, you've said so many times that it was a priority to get Jeff re-signed. Was there a particular reason? I mean, obviously you look at the numbers, you look at how prolific he was at times last year, but what does he do for your team kind of big picture?
Well, I think big picture, he came in and he scored goals. It's pretty much what the game's about is scoring goals, and it's something where we've struggled with. And we understand that Jeff's goal total will probably fluctuate over his time in Buffalo. But what you look back on the stats, he's extremely consistent in creating chances at even strength, and certainly his sort of rate of success or rate of capitalization on scoring goals is going to fluctuate from year to year. It's something that we've talked a lot about, of improving our scoring up front and improving our depth scoring. And we want to add to our group and not try to have to go out there and try to replace what Jeff Skinner can bring. The other element that gave us comfort in going to a deal with this, with Jeff, is just how he fit in with our group. I thought he was a great influence on our young players, the relationship with some of our elite players such as Jack and Sam, but going out of his way to have an impact on Rasmus Dahlin and Casey Mittelstadt, and just his professionalism off the ice. That's probably one of the next questions is going to be about giving an 8-year contract to a 27-year-old. But there's always going to be risk sometimes in doing that. But we feel very comfortable in how Jeff handles himself off the ice, how he's dedicated to conditioning and training. And we think that attitude, along with our sports science department, will hopefully allow him to be healthy and help the Buffalo Sabres the next 8 years.
Blake Lesowski from the Buffalo News. Jason, how do you navigate – I know the cap's going to go up in the coming years, but how do you navigate the challenge of having two players like Jack and Jeff take up a significant portion of your cap space or your cap overall? And I guess the fault – my second question is, how did your experience in Pittsburgh having two players with similar contract structures sort of prepare you to navigate that challenge?
Look, I think this contract just goes to show you with when players – you know, very good players want to stay here – in Buffalo and be a part of it, we're going to find a way to try to get it done. And our goal is to continue to try to develop our players within our system, and we want to give them big contracts. We want them to develop and be players that are deserving of very big contracts. And I think, you know, I feel very comfortable, you know, having some of our top players taking pieces of our salary cap up. I think it's you know, people talk about some teams throughout the league having, you know, cap situations. Well, they have cap situations because they have excellent players on their roster. That's what we're trying to get to. And I think the successful teams here certainly are willing to find ways to get deals done with their top players, but then also continually have young players coming through the system here. And that's what we're trying to develop here. It's why we continue to try to have draft picks. We continue to have such an emphasis on Rochester and player development. Because we want to find ways to keep good players here in Buffalo and then also continue to have strong teams by bringing entry-level contracts into the system, into our team.
Ultimately, what do you think sold Jeff on the Sabres, a long-term commitment to the Sabres? Just what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think that's a question to ask directly to Jeff, but just, you know, in my discussions with Jeff, I think he felt very comfortable how he was treated coming to the organization. It's always difficult being traded for the first time and coming to a new environment. I felt we handled it well for him. He was allowed to stay focused on hockey. I think just the facilities, and whether it's in Buffalo or on the road, is first class, and I think he appreciated that. And then I think he just sees the potential for this team. I think he was a big part of our success in the first half. And there was a frustration in the second half there of certainly how our team performed. But he sees the potential in the Jack Eichel. He sees the potential in Rasmus Dahlin or Casey Middlestat, some of our Tage Thompson, some of our younger players. And I think that certainly has got him excited to where this organization could go in the future.
Hey, Jason. John Bogle with The Athletic. You mentioned there might be some fluctuations, but he did just set a career high. Is there still more room to grow for Jeff, even though he is 27?
I certainly believe so. I think, you know, you can always debate it, John, back and forth on, hey, was he fortunate for some of the goals that he had early in the season? But then he went through a slump in the second half of the season. I think there's still opportunity for him to go beyond that. And I think with hopefully with us, having younger players that are going to continue to improve around him and having a stronger team around him, will just allow him to have better goal totals and stuff there. And like I said, the way he's goes about his, and having a work ethic and going about trying to find different methods of keeping his body in shape, training in the off season, but then also being a student of the game on where to go on the ice, you know, body position in and around the net. I still believe he's growing as a player, for sure.
There's Sabres general manager Jason Bottrell. We'll have more of that press conference from today where he met with the media, discussing the big news of the day, that Jeff Skinner has signed a contract for 8 years and $72 million. But before we get to more of that, we've got a jam-packed hour number two coming up here from Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. We've got Paul Hamilton coming up after this timeout. He'll discuss the Skinner deal and what's next for the Sabres. We've got Ryan Hasenauer at 3:30. He'll break down the field for today's Belmont Stakes. And then more from Bottrell coming up. Todd Height at 4:30, the OTV Handicappers. Then we'll take you up to live coverage from Elmont Park at 5 p.m. here on WGR. Here's John with the update. Dan Cave and me, Brian Koziel, back with hour number two of our Belmont Stakes show right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Thank you. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.